When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What up, Cavs Nation? I'm your host, Ethan Sands, and I'm back with another episode of the Wine and Gold Talk podcast. I'm joined by none other than Chris Fedor. How's everything going, Chris?
Ethan, it's going great, man. How are you?
Tired, but we living. We keep moving. Gotta keep moving forward. That's the only way we can't stop. All of my friends are always like, Ethan, I've never seen you burnt out. And I'm like, yeah, because I just operate in this state of bliss. Ignorant bliss is what they call it. And just continue to keep working so you don't really feel it. But it'll hit me at some point. I'm just hoping the season's over by then.
Yeah, man. Don't let yourself get burnt out. One piece of advice that I'll always give to young reporters is it's okay to take some days off. It's okay to not go to one shoot around every now and then or one practice every now and then. You got to make sure that you balance you time with the job, especially because you've got me as well on the beat.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. The Chris Fedor. And but speaking of the Cavs and practices and things of that nature, the Cavs are heading home tomorrow, Friday, when this will air, to face the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Chris, I don't know if you got to watch tonight's Timberwolves game, but man, oh man, you think about a team that has just lost Karl Anthony Towns to a torn meniscus for at least a month. And you think about the Cavs, who just lost Evan Mobley for at least a week. And this Timberwolves team turned to its two players in Rudy Gobert and Anthony Edwards. And Ant went off for 44 points and had a game-saving block, while Rudy Gobert went for a double-double and, as usual, a 14-rebound night. So this Minnesota Timberwolves team, man, they're fighting for the top spot in the Western Conference. They now retake the top spot after the Thunder had it just for a night yesterday. They're half a game behind them in the second seed. How do you preview this Minnesota Timberwolves versus Cavs game with all the injuries surrounding the Cavs and the things that the Timberwolves have to do coming off a back-to-back to come into Cleveland?
Well, first things first, I think you bring up a point about who steps up for Minnesota, and we can do that with all these different teams around the NBA that are dealing with injuries, right? When Devin Booker is out for the Phoenix Suns, who steps forward? And Bradley Beal tonight has close to 8 assists already, and he's making plays for the Suns. And I don't mean to continue to harp on this point, but I think we need to talk about it. Darius Garland has got to step up at some point for these Cavs. Donovan Mitchell is not around. Evan Mobley is not around. Sam Merrill last night in the game against Atlanta had no legs and he couldn't make shots. Darius Garland's been good, but the Cavs need him to be great. That's what it's going to take to navigate these absences. And that's the first place that I think the Cavs turn. I think that's the first place that the fans turn. I think that's the first place that J.B. Bickerstaff turns. And I get it. Darius is not Donovan Mitchell. He doesn't have the same talent level. He doesn't have the same experience. He doesn't have the same accomplishments through his career. But now, during this stretch, without Donovan for however long it's going to last, This is about Darius stepping up and playing to a different kind of level. That's what Ant-Man did tonight for the Minnesota Timberwolves without Cat, right? That's what Jalen Williams has done at times this year if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander isn't out there. So I'm looking at Darius Garland and saying he's got to step up in a bigger way than what it has been to this point. Again, he's been good, but end of game against Boston, Dean Wade saved his bacon. End of game last night against Atlanta, just a bunch of carelessness at the wrong time for Darius that proved very costly for the Cavs. And it's one thing to sit here and say, well, you know, George Niang's going to get more opportunity, so he needs to capitalize on his, and Caris LeVert is going to step into a ball handling role and a playmaking role. But for me, it's about Darius playing better than what we've seen for a majority of this season, now that the circumstances are taken out of the equation for him. Beyond that, for the Cavs, it's really, really important, Ethan, for them not to take Minnesota lightly, because they look at the situation and say, well, Minnesota doesn't have Karl Anthony Towns. They're not the same kind of opponent. They're coming in here on the second game of a back-to-back after a taxing game against Indianapolis, probably an emotional ending against the Pacers. So we're going to let our guard down a little bit. They've done that in the past where they haven't come out with the right energy, the right effort from the very, very beginning. They can't allow that to happen tomorrow night at home because they have to take advantage of a team coming to their place, dealing with a schedule complication that becomes advantageous for the Cavs.
Yeah, Chris, and you talk about not starting as well as you could have. And that Atlanta game yesterday was a prime example of that. Multiple different people in the Cavs locker room after the game said flat, not how they wanted to start. And they had to come all the way back in that 40-point third quarter, but then fell to just 12 points in the fourth quarter, with Darius Garland finishing the game shooting 5 of 14 and 3 of 11 from three-point range. Sure, you have 15 points and 7 assists and only turned the ball over twice, but we need more from you. And I think that's the thing that we were mentioning with the Timberwolves, is they had two players. You had Jared Allen against the Hawks be able to hold it down with 18 points and 19 rebounds. Jared did his part. You need that second player to boost it up. So like we're talking about the Timberwolves tonight's game, Rudy Gobert held down the paint and then Anthony Edwards exploded offensively and still was able to make an impact on the defensive end, especially with his game-saving block. So for us to see that Darius Garland has not taken that step, it's something that we need. I mentioned this in yesterday's podcast, Chris. J.B. Bickerstaff made a mistake yesterday that was kind of blatant. Craig Porter Jr. was a big part of that third quarter run, especially in the later part of that third quarter run. And he didn't get a whole lot of minutes in the fourth quarter when Darius was struggling, when the entire team was struggling and not able to find buckets. I needed to see more minutes or an adjustment for Craig to get minutes in that final quarter because of how Darius was playing and not executing and things of that nature, even though he is one of the guys that they consistently think needs to be getting playing time, needs to be getting minutes to have this team go. And that's still true. But knowing how he was performing, even if he's the franchise guy, even if he is the highest paid contract, I think in that situation against an Atlanta Hawks team in a game that was winnable, J.B. Bickerstaff needed to do the best decision for the team. And in that case, it wasn't having Darius Garland on the court. But I think we'll have to see how he adjusts in this Timberwolves game, because who knows what the matchups are going to look like for that.
Can I say I disagree? Because here's the thing. There's always this assumption that this hot lineup that a coach is using that allows a team to get back in the game is going to be able to continue it. And I think you're making that assumption that if Craig Porter Jr. was in there, the way that he was playing against the players that he was playing against in the third quarter, it was going to be the same level of production against other better players for the Hawks down the stretch of the game. And maybe it would have been, right? There's no guarantee that it would have. And I think at some point, you as a coach, you just ride a team until you feel like those wheels are going to fall off or some level of self-correction is going to happen. Whatever lineup it is, whatever rotation it is, it's not going to last for 20 straight minutes. You know what I mean? The level of effectiveness that they're playing with, you would think, is going to run out at some point because there's a level of variance attached to how they're playing. And Darius Garland is the franchise player right now with Donovan Mitchell being out. Those guys deserve and have earned a little bit more latitude. To me, it's more important to have Darius Garland out there in end-of-game situations to play through his mistakes, to learn in those pressure-packed moments what is required so that the Cavs can be better in the long term for that. And I think that's what it's about. And it's something that JB Bickerstaff has alluded to. And this doesn't mean that he can't be criticized for some of the decisions that he makes with his roster, with his rotations, with his lineups. All of that is fair game. There's no doubt about it. And some nights he's going to get it wrong. And you think last night he got it wrong too. And I respect that. And that's fine. I just disagree with it because I think when it comes to the Cavs, it's not about March 6th. It's about April, May, and June. And it's about what puts them in the best position to be best equipped to win a playoff series or two. And there is a bigger picture in play here. There's always a bigger picture in play here. And going away from your starting point guard on March 6th, in a situation where he needs that experience, he needs an opportunity to succeed or fail, I just don't think that's the right way to handle it as a coach. Because a coach's job, Ethan, to me, is so much more than X's and O's, schemes, lineups, and rotations. It's about managing personalities. It's about keeping the big picture in mind always, especially when you're talking about a team like this with the Cavs. So to me, even though Craig Porter Jr. was playing well last night, I understand and I like the decision to give Darius Garland latitude, especially at the end of the game, to see if he can come through. And if he doesn't, it's on him. And he didn't. So it's on him, to me.
And I think we can respectfully agree to disagree on this topic. And I think my thing was, because Darius had the entire fourth quarter to figure it out, and they were able to cut it into 5 points with 4 minutes left, and there was an opportunity, and he didn't capitalize on it. I think being able to understand that a shift, because I agree with you, I don't think Craig Porter Jr. would have had the same level of success for the entire fourth quarter, but I think a change of pace might have been what the Cavs could have needed. And again, we don't know because it didn't happen. So we can't go too far into it, but that's my opinion, and you said yours, and I think that's fair to go off of. But I think that's a good place for us to take a break, because this isn't a point guard battle or debate, because we all know that Darius Garland is the franchise guy and is the highest paid player on the Cavs in franchise history. So with that being said, we're going to take a quick break. But I gotta put our subscribers on to something new. For our listeners, if you like food and drinks, and who doesn't, Cleveland.com is breaking new ground with our lively new podcast about dining and drinking in the greater Cleveland area. The hosts talk about the latest foodie happenings, joined by the most in-the-know experts in town. It's called Dine Drink CLE, and you can find it anywhere you download podcasts. Give it a listen, quench your thirst, and feed that appetite. When we come back to the Wine and Gold Talk podcast, we're going to look at the injuries plaguing the league currently and how the league stands at the moment. But before then, become a Cavs insider and interact with me and Chris by subscribing to Subtext. With Subtext, you'll get insider information about injuries, about updates on players that could be coming back, and when Max Strus, Donovan Mitchell, and Evan Mobley are reevaluated. To get those updates, sign up for a 14-day free trial or visit cleveland.com/Cavs and click on the blue bar at the top of the page. If you don't like it, that's fine. All you have to do is text the word stop. It's easy, but we can tell you that the people who sign up stick around, because this is the best way to get insider coverage on the Cavs from Chris and me. We'll be right back. All right, Chris. I just want to take a look at all the injuries that are currently happening around the league. Because to me, it seems like with just a month and some change left in the season, this is the bad time for a lot of these teams to be going through this. So, the Atlanta Hawks had Trae Young be out after getting surgery on his hand, and they were still able to pull out the victory against the Cavs. While other teams are also dealing with that, including the Timberwolves with Karl-Anthony Towns, as we mentioned, are there other injuries around the league that you've seen that could be costly in this last month and some change?
Well, look, the biggest one to me is Philadelphia. Philadelphia went from one of the top three spots in the Eastern Conference, Ethan, locked in to one of the top three seeds, locked in to home court advantage, locked in to a favorable first-round playoff matchup. They're in the play-in mix right now. Think about that. They're seventh in the Eastern Conference. There is not a guarantee of the 76ers at this point, despite how good their roster is, despite the change that they made at head coach, despite the fact that they got off to such a great start this year, despite the fact that they were one of the most active teams at the trade deadline. Ethan, there is not a guarantee that they get a seven-game series. That's wild to think about. Now, again, Miami could tail off. New York could go into a more prolonged funk given all their injuries. Orlando just keeps winning, but who knows? At the end of the season, maybe they could drop down a little bit. This five-game winning streak that they're on, it could turn into a five-game losing streak or a seven-game losing streak or whatever. So there's still time for this to correct itself. But as of today, the 76ers being a play-in team because they've been without Joel Embiid for such a long stretch, and now Tyrese Maxey is dealing with concussion-like symptoms. Whoo, man. This is a team that entered the season with championship aspirations. This is a team that entered the season in a championship or bust situation, given their salary cap situation, given the win-now moves that they've made, the sacrifices that they've made with their organization, with their roster. So that, to me, stands out more than any other one in terms of how it has impacted just the landscape in the entire NBA.
Yeah, Chris, and I mean, you mentioned that team, and we at the beginning of the season had said that Boston, Milwaukee, and the 76ers were in their own little tier. And to me, to think that they have now dropped all the way down to a play-in team and the seventh seed, and actually they have the same record as the Miami Heat after the Heat's loss tonight. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. But just to say that they're in the seventh seed currently is insane. And I mean, I think for me, I didn't mention this before, but you bringing up the Knicks, obviously it is up in the air how Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, and OG Anunoby all return. They all had pretty serious injuries that have had them sidelined for a good minute now. And sure, they could come back at the perfect time for the Knicks, but that's also going to call for a reacclimation period. And the Cavs know that better than anybody else.
And it's not just any reacclimation period, right? It's with OG, a guy who hadn't gotten acclimated yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a new face that they added just ahead of the trade deadline. And they were really, really effective with him in the lineup. And he was making an impact. But he wasn't yet fully comfortable. It's a little bit different for them when they have to reintegrate Jalen Brunson. That's his team. Everybody knows it's his team. He's been there for years. So he's understanding of his role. He's understanding of the system. He's understanding of his place within the system. OG was in the middle of trying to figure all of that stuff out when he got hurt. So it's basically he's getting a training camp when he returns at some point when he is going to return. So it was a new face already that hadn't yet blended into the fabric of the team that is going to have to do that. So he was robbed of the early opportunities following a trade that players usually need to have. And then you start looking at the calendar and you start saying, well, April's getting really, really close. The playoffs are getting really, really close. Is he going to be ready? Is he going to have an understanding of his role? Is he going to have an understanding of the system and all those different factors?
And I hate to say this, but even with that reacclimation period being necessary, if you get a lineup with Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby, and Julius Randle in it, that's scary. Nobody in the Cavs organization is going to say this, but the Cavs matching up with that team in a first-round playoff series again would be probably worse than it was last year. And the Orlando Magic being in the fourth seed right now could save the Cavs by chance if that's how the season ends up. But I honestly am looking around the league right now at the games being played, and I think we're seeing an NBA Finals potential matchup right now with the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets. And it's looking like that kind of game. It's close, it's fiery, it's up-tempo, and these teams are going back and forth. So, Chris, I want to ask you this, and I think it might be the end of the podcast, but do you have a prediction for who might be in the NBA Finals this year?
Ethan, I would be stunned if there's any team that represents the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals other than Boston. They've just played at such a consistent level. They have so many different facets of their offense. They can play inside. They can play outside. They are a great three-point shooting team. An unbelievable defensive team, I think, in a seven-game series, given how much switchability they have with their roster. Given that they've got Jrue Holiday to kind of pester the opposing lead ball handler. I know that they have lapses every now and then in late game situations, and they're going to have to figure that out. And Jason Tatum in late game situations probably settles a little bit more than he should. But statistically, they check all the boxes of a team that is a legitimate championship contender. Milwaukee is starting to come on. Milwaukee is showing a little bit more, especially on the defensive end of the floor. Beating Giannis and Dame four times in seven tries in a series is going to be really, really difficult, especially when Giannis takes his game to a different level, and that pick and roll between Dame and Giannis is going to be really difficult for any team to handle in a seven-game series. You're probably going to have to change up a bunch of different coverages. You're probably going to have to change up your personnel. You're probably going to have to go into every single strategic trick that you have just to handle that team. And they're doing this right now, their turnaround, without Chris Middleton. So I don't want to overlook them and all of that talent and all of that firepower. But I think Boston has proven itself to be on a different level. And Denver has been there, done that. They know what it takes. They know their system works. They know what to go to in end-of-game situations. They understand how to handle the pressure and the magnitude of crunch time and late-game offensive execution, late-game defensive execution, communication, all that kind of stuff. They do all of that. All the little things that a championship team needs, they have all of that over Minnesota, over Oklahoma City, over the Los Angeles Clippers. They have a better understanding of that than the Phoenix Suns. So right now, just based on what we've seen and what we believe to be true when it comes to playoff basketball, I think it's Denver and Boston on a collision course. But I certainly would not rule out the Los Angeles Clippers if they can stay fully healthy. Because Ty Lue is one of the best post-game tacticians. We saw that in Cleveland. Kawhi Leonard can take his game to a completely different level in the playoffs. So can Paul George. We've seen that. So I wouldn't rule out the Clippers, but I would give a slight edge to the Denver Nuggets.
I'm glad we can come to an agreement today, Chris. We love this.
I know, right? Here's the one thing that I will say too, Ethan. And I don't mean this to be mean-spirited, and I don't mean this to be a slight on the Cavs. You just watch Boston and Denver and some of these other teams that you feel like could make it to the NBA Finals, and it just feels like something is missing from the Cavs. Like, they aren't at that point quite yet where we can talk about them in that same conversation. At least for me, that's how I feel.
Yeah, Chris, I'm in agreement with you. And I think the one thing that I wanted to point out before we wrap this podcast up, and it's actually about the Milwaukee Bucks, because that is the team that is above the Cavs right now in the standings. And I know that a lot of people don't like him, but the Bucks defensive mindset and increase in production on that end of the floor has increased substantially since they got Patrick Beverley. And he brings an energy, he brings a mindset, and he understands his role on every given night. And I think he's been a great fit with the Milwaukee Bucks so far. And I think that him matching up with Darius Garland down the stretch, down the road, could be an interesting thing, because we know how much Darius likes to play with his food, and Patrick Beverley would encourage that, and if it would lead to more turnovers or less creation on the offensive end, because Darius Garland wants to prove a point that he can out-dribble everybody on the court, or just Patrick Beverley in that moment. So that's a matchup that I'm looking forward to down the road, and I don't know if you feel the same way.
Do you know who has the best defensive rating in the NBA since the All-Star break?
Not off the top of my head.
It is not the Milwaukee Bucks. I threw you a curveball there. It's the New Orleans Pelicans. But the Bucks are number two in the NBA since the All-Star break. Now, you can sit there and you can say, okay, small sample size. Or you can say, this is a team that understands it's time to turn it up. When March hits, time to take games a little bit more seriously. When March hits, you try and find your stride going into the playoffs. And the Bucks have been around, and they know that. For them to be number two in the NBA in defensive rating since the All-Star break, no matter who they've played against, no matter how small of a sample size it is, that level of defense, I don't think people felt like the Bucks could get to at any point. So for them to do it over seven games, that's pretty impressive, especially considering we know what they're capable of on the offensive end of the floor. Since the All-Star break, they're 10th in offensive rating, and that's while not having Chris Middleton. So the level of explosiveness and diversity that they have on offense, and the defense that they've shown since All-Star with Doc Rivers and some of the schemes that he's created, and the buy-in that they've had on the defensive end of the floor, that becomes a very, very scary team, because defense was supposed to be the weakness, right? Defense was supposed to be the Achilles heel. Defense was supposed to be the negative separator between them and the Celtics and some of these other top tier teams. For them to play this kind of defense and show that they have the capability of getting to that level defensively, that becomes really, really scary for other teams around the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, Chris, and over that since All-Star break span, they have wins over the Timberwolves, they have a win over the 76ers, and they also have a win over the Clippers, who we mentioned early. And oh, I forgot to mention this matchup that is probably even more exciting than the one between Patrick Beverley and Darius Garland. The All-Star matchup. Who should have really been the starter? Damian Lillard or Donovan Mitchell? That could be a storyline that we see later in this postseason, but we'll have to wait and see if those come to fruition. And until then, that'll wrap up today's episode of the Wine and Gold Talk podcast. But remember to become a Cavs insider and interact with Chris and me by subscribing to Subtext. Sign up for a 14-day free trial or visit cleveland.com/Cavs and click on the blue bar at the top of the page. If you don't like it, that's fine. All you have to do is text the word stop. It's easy, but we can tell you that the people who sign up stick around, because this is the best way to get insider coverage on the Cavs from me and Chris. This isn't just our podcast, it's your podcast. And the only way to have your voice heard is through Subtext. Y'all be safe. We out.